At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Caught my wife in the act with a stranger in our car, so I recorded everything and waited. What I did with that footage changed her life forever. I'm Damien, 34, commercial real estate broker specializing in industrial properties. My soon-to-be ex-wife is Verona, 32, a pediatric nutritionist at St. Augustine Children's Hospital. We've been married for 6 years, together for 9. Or at least, I thought we were together. 3 weeks ago, on a Thursday, I closed a major warehouse deal earlier than expected. The buyer signed at 4 p.m. instead of the scheduled 7 p.m. meeting. I decided to surprise Verona at the hospital with dinner reservations at her favorite steakhouse. She'd been complaining about working late shifts, poor thing. Said the hospital was understaffed and she had to cover extra rotations. I knew she usually took her break around 5:30 in the parking garage. She'd smoke a cigarette there, thinking I didn't know about her quit smoking habit she supposedly kicked 2 years ago. The garage is where medical staff park, third level, pretty empty after 5 p.m. When I got to level 3, I saw our Audi Q7 in her usual spot, far corner, backed into the space like always. The windows were fogged. My first thought was maybe she was napping. Then I saw the rhythmic movement. The car was rocking. You know that moment when your brain refuses to process what your eyes are seeing? That split second of denial before reality crashes through? Yeah, that happened. But only for a second. I didn't run over. I didn't bang on the windows. I didn't scream like some pathetic cuckold in a movie. Instead, I stepped behind a concrete pillar, pulled out my iPhone, and switched to video mode. 4K, 60fps. If you're going to document your wife getting railed by another man, might as well get cinema quality. The back window was cracked open, could hear everything. Her moans, the same ones I thought were reserved for me. His grunting. The wet sounds. Her saying things to him she'd never said to me in 9 years. Filthy things. Desperate things. Things that would make her Nigerian mother have a stroke if she knew her precious daughter even knew those words. I recorded for 12 minutes. Got multiple angles. Even captured his face clearly when he turned to check his phone mid-thrust. Wesley Thompson, event photographer, has a studio downtown. I'd seen him on her Instagram, photographed some hospital charity gala 3 months ago. She said he was very professional and captured the essence of our mission. Well, he was definitely capturing something. When they finished, I watched them get dressed through my phone screen, still recording. She fixed her scrubs, laughing at something he said. Kissed him goodbye. Not a peck, a deep, lingering kiss with her hand on his chest. The kind of kiss she stopped giving me 2 years ago because she was stressed from work. He drove off in his Mercedes GLE. She sat in our car for another 10 minutes, presumably cleaning up and fixing her makeup. Then she got out, sprayed herself with perfume, the bottle she keeps for emergencies, and headed back to the hospital. I waited 5 minutes, then left. Drove home. Ordered Chinese food. Acted completely normal when she came home at 9:30 p.m., complaining about what a long day she'd had, how Dr. Morrison was being a DK about the new nutrition protocols, how exhausted she was. "You should take a long bath," I suggested. "You've earned it." She smiled, kissed my forehead, like I'm her F-King brother, and went upstairs. While she was in the bath, I backed up the video to 3 different cloud services and emailed it to my personal attorney email account I'd set up years ago for important documents. Then I went to bed next to my wife of 6 years and slept better than I had in months. Because for the first time in what I realized had been a very long time, I wasn't confused anymore. I wasn't gaslit anymore. I wasn't crazy or paranoid or overthinking things like she'd been telling me. I was just a man with a plan. Update 1, 3 days later. You guys wanted an update, here it is. First, let me address some comments. No, I'm not in shock. No, I don't need therapy, yet. Yes, I've been tested, clean, thankfully. And no, I haven't confronted her. That's not how you win this game. The past 3 days have been educational. See, when you know someone's lying to you, everything becomes clear. Every "I'm too tired," every girl's night, every mysterious phone call that's just work stuff, it all starts forming a pattern. Friday morning, The day after discovery, I called in sick to work. Told my partner I had food poisoning. Verona left for her shift at 7 a.m., kissing my forehead again, always the forehead now, never the lips. As soon as her car left the driveway, I got to work. Her iPad was still logged into everything. Rookie mistake, but when you think your husband is too stupid to notice you're f-king another man, you get sloppy. Her Gmail, Instagram, Facebook, even her banking apps, all wide open. The affair started 4 months ago, right after the hospital's spring charity gala. Wesley was the event photographer. She was on the planning committee. The messages started professionally, thank you for the wonderful photos. Turned into you really captured my good side turned into would love to discuss future hospital events over coffee. Coffee became drinks. Drinks became dinner. Dinner became F King in my car while I was showing properties to clients. But here's the beautiful part, Wesley has a fiance. Giovanna, boutique owner, lives with him in a converted loft downtown. Their wedding is in 5 months. Verona knows this. There are messages where she calls Giovanna the clueless BCH and laughs about how Wesley tells his fiance he's doing night shoots when he's really with my wife. I screenshotted everything. Every message. Every photo she sent him, yeah, those kinds of photos, the ones she said were degrading when I asked for them. Every timestamp that contradicted every lie she told me. But the real gold mine? The credit card statements. She has a personal card I don't usually check, we kept separate accounts for personal spending, joint for household. 3 hotel charges in the past 2 months. The Marriott downtown. Always Tuesday afternoons when she was supposedly in staff meetings. 1 charge at La Perla for $400. Lingerie. 2 weeks ago. I haven't seen any new lingerie. But Wesley has, there's a photo of her wearing it in their message thread. Saturday, I acted normal. Made breakfast. Suggested we watch a movie. Even initiated SX that night, wanted to see if she'd refuse. She didn't, but it was mechanical, distant. She was probably thinking about him. That's fine. Let her have her memories. Sunday was interesting. Her sister Eva came over for brunch. Textile designer, pretentious as F, always talking about authentic fabrics and sustainable fashion. But useful. Because after 2 mimosas, she mentioned how happy she was that Verona had found her spark again and was glowing lately. Work must be going well, I said, refilling her glass. Oh please, Eva laughed. We both know it's not work making her glow like that. Verona shot her a look that could kill. Eva backpedaled, said she meant the new workout routine Verona started. But I saw it. The panic in Verona's eyes. The quick calculation, does he know? I smiled. Yeah, she's been very dedicated to her. Workouts. Sunday night, I met with my divorce attorney. Not just any attorney, my sister's husband, Terrence. Corporate law is his main practice, but he handles family law too. He's also the one who drew up our prenup 7 years ago. The prenup Verona signed without reading because we don't need this negativity, baby, we're going to last forever. The infidelity clause is ironclad. She gets nothing if adultery is proven. The house? Mine. The investment accounts? Mine. Even her car, the Audi she's been F King Wesley in? It's in my name. Mine. This video is gold, Terrence said. But we need more. Financial infidelity, evidence of premeditation, anything that shows pattern of deception. I have 4 months of messages and hotel receipts. Perfect. But don't confront her yet. Let her think she's safe. The longer this goes, the more mistakes she makes. He's right. Yesterday, she told me she has another late shift Thursday. Check the hospital schedule through a contact, she's off at 3 p.m. Wesley's Instagram shows he has no bookings that afternoon. I've installed cameras in the house. Not hidden, visible ones. Told Verona it's for security after the break-ins reported in the neighborhood, there were no break-ins. She thought it was a great idea. Even suggested places to put them for maximum coverage. She doesn't know about the one in my home office that's been there for 2 years. The one that caught her going through my desk last month. The one that recorded her taking photos of my financial documents. The one that will prove she's been planning her exit strategy too, she just thought she'd be the one with leverage. My brother Felix called yesterday. He's a customs broker, deals with international shipments. Asked if everything was okay, said I sounded different lately. I'm better than I've been in years, I told him. And it's true. Once you accept that the person sleeping next to you is a stranger, everything becomes simple. It's just business now. And I'm very, very good at business. Update 2, 1 week since discovery. The trap is set. This week has been a masterclass in patience. Every morning, Verona kisses my forehead and leaves for work. Every evening, she comes home with stories about her day, half of which are lies. I nod, smile, ask follow-up questions. I'm the perfect husband while she plays the perfect wife. Both of us acting, but only one of us knows it. Tuesday was supposed to be her late shift. I had Felix call me with a fake emergency about a shipment that needed immediate attention.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Called Verona, told her I'd be dealing with customs issues until midnight. "Oh no, baby," she said, voice full of concern. "I hate that you have to work so late." "Yeah, it sucks. Especially since you're at the hospital late too. House will be empty all evening." The pause was barely noticeable. "Actually, I might be able to leave earlier. Dr. Morrison canceled our meeting." "Don't wait up for me though. This could go really late." I wasn't at customs. I was parked 2 blocks from our house with a clear view of the driveway. Wesley's Mercedes pulled up at 6:47 p.m. They went inside my house. Into my bedroom. The cameras caught everything, them laughing as they opened a bottle of my Macallan 18, her giving him a tour of the house like she was a real estate agent, pointing out things she wanted to change when it's just mine. They fked in my bed. In my shower. On my couch. The same couch where we hosted her parents last Christmas. But Wesley made a crucial mistake. He used our Wi-Fi. Logged into his email. His banking app. His Instagram. All captured by the monitoring software I installed on our router last week. Now I know everything about him too. Including the fact that he's been doing this with 3 other married women. Verona isn't special. She's just Tuesday and Thursday. Another woman named Isla gets Mondays and Wednesdays. Wednesday, I surprised Verona with spa certificates. Full day treatment for her and Eva this Saturday. "What's the occasion?" she asked, suspicious. "Can a man pamper his wife? You've been working so hard lately." She hugged me. Actually hugged me. "You're so sweet. I don't deserve you." The first honest thing she's said in months. Thursday, yesterday, was revelation day. Not for her. For me. I discovered the exit strategy she's been planning. See, Verona's been smarter than I gave her credit for. She's been slowly moving money from our joint savings into a personal account at a different bank. Small amounts, $500 here, $750 there. Always with reasonable explanations if I'd asked, needed cash for the hospital charity fund, or paying back Eva for the girls' trip. Except I found the account. It has $23,000 in it. She's also been in contact with a divorce attorney. Found the emails in her deleted folder. She doesn't know that deleting emails doesn't actually delete them immediately, they go to the trash for 30 days. Her attorney advised her to gather evidence of emotional neglect and financial control. She's been recording our conversations, trying to get me to say something she can use. She's planning to file first. Make me the bad guy. Take half of everything and paint herself as the victim of a cold, emotionally distant husband who drove her into another man's arms. The f-king audacity. But yesterday gave me the final piece I needed. Remember her hospital award? The one for her community nutrition program? It's happening next Friday at the hospital's annual fundraising dinner. Black tie event. 500 guests including the hospital board, major donors, local media. She's giving a speech about integrity and dedication to helping others. Her parents are flying in from Texas. Her mother already called me, telling me how proud they are, how Verona is such a blessing to the family name. Her father, a pastor, plans to give a blessing before her speech. I've already RSVP'd for a table. Bought a new tuxedo. Even invited some clients who donate to the hospital. It's going to be perfect. Last night, while Verona was in the shower, I created a new email account, truthaboutverona@gmail.com. Drafted an email with all the screenshots, the videos, edited to blur certain parts, I'm not a complete monster, the hotel receipts, the photos she sent Wesley. Set it to scheduled send for next Friday at 8:47 p.m. Exactly when she'll be walking up to the podium. The recipient list includes every member of the hospital board, her entire department, her parents and extended family, her Instagram followers, she has her email and her bio. Wesley's fiance Giovanna, the three other married women Wesley is F King, they deserve to know. The local healthcare newsletter that's covering the event. But the masterstroke? I also found out the hospital has a morality clause in their employment contracts. Something about maintaining the reputation and values of a Catholic medical institution. Infidelity resulting in public scandal is grounds for immediate termination. This morning, Verona woke up happy. Actually happy. Humming while making coffee. Probably thinking about Wesley. Probably thinking about the life she's planning without me. You seem cheerful, I noted. Just excited about the award dinner next week. It's a big moment for me. It'll definitely be unforgettable, I agreed. She has no idea how right I am. My buddy Holden, private equity analyst, asked if I'm sure about going nuclear. Said maybe we could work it out with counseling. Some things can't be fixed, I told him. They can only be finished. You've changed, man. You're different. Harder. No, I corrected him. I just stopped pretending to be soft. The best part? Verona's still acting. Still kissing my forehead. Still saying she loves me every night before bed. Still making plans for our 7th anniversary in 2 months. She mentioned wanting to go to Cabo, maybe renew our vows. Sure, honey. Let's plan that trip. Let's look at resorts together. Let's pretend we have a future while you text him from the bathroom and I document every lie. 4 more days until the dinner. 4 more days of forehead kisses and fake smiles and how was your day, honey? 4 more days of watching her feel smart and safe and superior. I've been sleeping like a baby. Update 3, the nuclear launch. It's been 48 hours since I ended my wife's life. Not literally, though based on her current state, she might prefer that. Friday night. The St. Augustine Children's Hospital annual fundraising gala. The Crown Plaza Hotel Ballroom. 500 guests in their finest attire. Corporate sponsors, medical professionals, local politicians, media. The who's who of our city's healthcare community. Verona looks stunning. Black evening gown, diamond earrings I bought her for our 5th anniversary, hair professionally styled. She'd spent the entire day at the spa with Eva, my treat. Came home glowing, excited, ready for the biggest night of her career. Her parents had arrived Thursday evening. Her mother, Adora, couldn't stop talking about how proud she was. Her father, Pastor Emmanuel, kept blessing everything, the house, the food, probably the toilet paper. They sat at our table along with Eva, her boyfriend, two hospital executives, and a major donor couple. The evening started perfectly. Cocktail hour, where Verona worked the room like a professional. I watched her charm everyone, that fake laugh she'd perfected, the light touch on the arm when she wanted to seem sincere. Several people congratulated me on having such an accomplished wife. You're a lucky man, Dr. Morrison said, the same Dr. Morrison she'd used as an excuse for so many fake late nights. Lucky isn't the word I'd use, I replied. Dinner was served at 7:30. Salmon or chicken, typical banquet food. Verona barely ate, too nervous about her speech. She kept reviewing her notes, practicing under her breath. Her mother reached over to squeeze her hand. You're going to be wonderful, my dear. At 8:15, they started the award presentations. Verona was third, scheduled for 8:45. At 8:30, she went to the bathroom to check her makeup one last time. While she was gone, I stood up. I need to make a quick call. Business emergency in Tokyo. Her father nodded approvingly. A man who provides for his family is blessed. I stepped into the lobby, pulled out my phone, and opened the scheduled email. My finger hovered over the cancel button for exactly 1 second. Then I thought about her moaning Wesley's name in our car. About her laughing with him about Giovanna being clueless. About the $23,000 she'd stolen. About the divorce lawyer. About when it's just mine. I changed the send time to 8:44 p.m. and hit confirm. Then I walked back in and sat down just as the hospital CEO was starting Verona's introduction. This year's Excellence in Community Health Award goes to someone who exemplifies our values of integrity, dedication, and compassion. 8:44 p.m. I watched it happen in real time. The wave starting from the back of the room where people were checking their phones. The confused looks. The gasps. Someone actually dropped a glass. Then more phones. More gasps. Whispers spreading like wildfire. Verona was already walking to the podium, smiling, waving. She didn't notice at first. Not until she was at the microphone, looking out at an audience that was no longer looking at her but at their screens. "Thank you so much for this incredible honor." Her phone, sitting on our table, lit up. Then again. And again. Eva had grabbed it, was staring at the screen in horror. Her mother was trying to see what was happening. Someone in the back actually stood up and walked out. Verona continued, but her voice wavered. I want to thank my team. What is this? Her father's voice boomed across the ballroom. He was standing, phone in hand, his face a mask of rage and disbelief. The CEO was trying to get to the podium. Dr. Morrison was white as a sheet. And Verona? Verona just stood there, frozen, as 500 people watched her world implode. "Turn it off," someone said, referring to the email video that was apparently auto-playing for some people. "Jesus Christ, turn it off," her mother started crying. Not gentle tears, full-body sobs. Eva was trying to comfort her while staring daggers at Verona. The CEO had reached the podium, was whispering urgently to Verona, trying to guide her off stage. But Verona wouldn't move. She was scanning the crowd, looking for something. Looking for me. When our eyes met, I didn't smile. I didn't smirk. I just stared. Cold. Empty. The same look I'd perfected over the past 2 weeks. She knew. In that moment, she knew exactly who had done this. "Ladies and gentlemen," the CEO said into the microphone, "we're going to take a brief intermission." Security appeared. Not for me, for Verona. Escorting her off stage and out of the ballroom. Her parents followed, her mother wailing, her father praying loudly in Igbo. Eva threw her napkin on the table and stormed out. The entire ballroom was in chaos. People showing each other their phones, gossiping, some laughing, others genuinely shocked. The donor at our table turned to me. "Did you know?" "I found out recently," I said calmly, taking a sip of wine. "And you did this? Tonight?" She earned this recognition. Seemed fitting she get it publicly. The man's wife looked horrified. The man himself? He raised his glass slightly in my direction before his wife dragged him away. I sat there for another 10 minutes, finishing my wine, watching the chaos. Then I stood, straightened my tuxedo, and walked out. The lobby was pandemonium. Verona was surrounded by hospital executives, security, and her family. She saw me approaching and broke free, running at me in her gown and heels. "UF King Tard. You ruined my life." "No," I said quietly, stepping aside as she tried to slap me. "You ruined your life. I just made sure everyone saw it. I'll destroy you. I'll take everything." "With what? The prenup you didn't read? The $23,000 you stole from our joint account? The divorce lawyer you've been secretly meeting? I know everything, Verona. Every. Single. Thing." Her face went from red to white. Her mother approached, tears streaming. "Damien, why? Why would you do this? Ask your daughter why, Adora. Ask her about Wesley. Ask her about the others. Ask her about the lies, the theft, the betrayal. Ask her why she thought she could make a fool of me." Pastor Emmanuel grabbed my arm. "You're a demon. You're evil." I removed his hand. Gently but firmly. "No, Pastor. I'm just a man who refused to be disrespected. Your daughter made her choices. Now she lives with them." Security intervened then, asking me to leave. I'd already ordered an Uber. As I walked to the entrance, I heard Verona scream. "I hate you. I F King hate you." "Good," I called back without turning. "Now we're even." The last thing I saw was Giovanna, Wesley's fiancée, walking through the doors with MRDR in her eyes, asking anyone who'd listen where she could find Verona. I went home, poured myself a Macallan 18, from a new bottle, not the one they'd contaminated, and sat in my office reviewing the divorce papers Terrence had prepared. My phone had 47 missed calls. I turned it off. Saturday morning, Verona didn't come home. Her sister texted that she was at their parents' hotel. Good. I changed the locks anyway. Packed all her belongings into boxes, neat and organized, labeled by category. Clothes. Jewelry. Personal items. The lingerie from La Perla? I included that with a note, Wesley might want this back. The hospital called. HR wanted to meet Monday morning. I informed them I was just the husband, they'd need to speak with Verona directly. They informed me she was no longer an employee as of 11:47 p.m. Friday night. The morality clause had been invoked. Wesley's Instagram is gone. His website is down. Giovanna's Boutique Instagram posted that they're closed indefinitely for personal reasons. The comments suggest everyone knows exactly what those reasons are. Verona's professional Instagram? 847 followers yesterday. 231 this morning. The comments before she disabled them were brutal. Her LinkedIn is gone too. Her mother called from their hotel, begging me to reconsider. She made a mistake, Damien. People make mistakes. A mistake is forgetting an anniversary, Adora. This was a choice. Hundreds of choices. For months. The Bible says to forgive. I'm not religious. And even if I was, I'm pretty sure it also says something about not committing adultery. She hung up crying. This morning, Sunday, Terrence called. Verona's attorney reached out wanting to negotiate. She's willing to walk away quietly if you delete everything and give her 6 months of support to get back on her feet. I laughed. Actually laughed. She gets what the prenup says she gets. Nothing. And the videos stay as evidence for the divorce proceedings. Public record. You've destroyed her life, Damien. Wrong pronoun. She destroyed her life. I just documented it. This is cruel. No. Cruel was f**king another man in my car while I worked to pay for the life she was living. Cruel was planning to divorce me and take half of everything I built. This is justice. I'm sitting here now, in my house, drinking coffee from my favorite mug, looking at the boxes of her life stacked neatly by the door. She can pick them up whenever. Or not. I don't care. Tomorrow, I file the divorce papers. With the evidence I have, it'll be quick. Clean. Surgical. Like cutting out a tumor. Some people are saying I went too far. That I should have just divorced her quietly. Those people have never felt the specific type of rage that comes from being betrayed by someone you'd have died for. They've never tasted the particular flavor of disrespect that comes with being cheated on in your own car, in your own bed, with someone who knows exactly how much they're destroying. I didn't go too far. I went exactly as far as necessary. Final update, 2 months later. This is my last update. The war is over. I won. The divorce was finalized last week. Fastest divorce proceedings Terrence had ever seen. When you have video evidence, financial fraud, and a bulletproof prenup, there's not much to argue about. Verona got exactly what the prenup specified for infidelity, nothing. She tried to claim emotional abuse, financial control, even attempted to say I'd manipulated her into signing the prenup. The judge, a woman in her 60s who'd seen every trick in the book, wasn't buying any of it. Mrs. Chen, the judge said, she'd legally changed her name back already. You're an educated woman who signed a legal document 7 years ago. You then violated the terms of that agreement in the most egregious way possible. The evidence is overwhelming. Motion denied. Verona broke down crying right there in the courtroom. Her attorney requested a recess. Denied. The house is mine. The investments are mine. The cars are mine. She got her personal belongings, her clothes, and the $23,000 she'd hidden, which I chose not to pursue as theft only because Terrence said it would drag things out longer and I wanted this done. But here's what's happened since. Verona is working part-time at a GNC in a strip mall. Her nursing license wasn't revoked, but no hospital in the state will touch her. The story spread through the medical community like wildfire. She's radioactive. She applied to over 40 positions. Nothing. One HR director privately told a mutual friend that her name is essentially blacklisted, not officially, of course, but no one wants the drama. She's living in a 600-square-foot studio apartment on the south side. Her BMW? Repossessed last month, she couldn't make the payments without my income. She takes the bus now. The same woman who used to complain about my AMG not being special enough now waits at bus stops. Wesley? Gone. Disappeared completely. After Giovanna left him and his other affairs were exposed, his business imploded. His studio is closed. His social media is deleted. Last I heard, he moved to Florida to start fresh. He never contacted Verona again after that night. She was nothing to him. Just another desperate housewife to F. The messages she sent him afterward, begging him to at least talk to her, all left on read until he blocked her. Her parents? They went back to Texas and haven't spoken to her since. Pastor Emmanuel apparently gave a sermon about the dangers of temptation and the importance of honoring marriage vows. Never mentioned his daughter by name, but everyone knew. Adora posts on Facebook about her church activities, her garden, her other children. It's like Verona doesn't exist. Eva still talks to her, but barely. told a mutual friend that she's disgusted and embarrassed. The family reputation Verona was so proud of? Destroyed. But the best part? 2 weeks ago, I ran into her at a Whole Foods. I was picking up some steaks for a dinner party. She was at the pharmacy counter, trying to split a $47 prescription into two payments because her card was declined. She saw me. I saw her see me. I was wearing my new Brioni suit, had just come from closing a massive distribution center deal. She was in jeans and a faded sweater, looking like she'd aged 5 years and 2 months. She approached me. I didn't walk away. Damien. Verona. You look good. I know. She flinched. Can we talk? Just for a minute? We have nothing to talk about. Please. I need closure. Closure? I almost laughed. You want closure? Fine. You threw away a good life for cheap thrills with a man who didn't give a SHT about you. You destroyed your career, your reputation, and your family relationships for what? For Tuesday and Thursday afternoons? For feeling desired by someone new? Was it worth it? She was crying now. Quietly, trying not to make a scene. I'm sorry. I'm so f-king sorry. No, you're sorry you got caught. You're sorry there were consequences. If I hadn't found out, you'd still be f-king him in my bed while planning to divorce me and take everything. I loved you. Don't. Don't you dare. You don't destroy people you love. You don't humiliate people you love. You don't steal from people you love. What do you want me to say? That I f-ked up? That I ruined everything? That I think about it every single day? That I can't sleep? That my life is a nightmare? What do you want? I want nothing from you. That's the point. Nothing. I started to walk away. She grabbed my arm. Gently. Do you ever think about the good times? Before? I looked at her. Really looked at her. This woman I'd loved. Married. Built a life with. And felt. Nothing. Not anger. Not sadness. Nothing. No. Those memories belong to two different people. People who don't exist anymore. I still love you. That's unfortunate. I removed her hand from my arm and walked away. She called out one more time. Are you happy? At least tell me you're happy. I stopped. Turned. I'm dating someone. A pilot. She flies international routes for United. Beautiful, intelligent, and most importantly, loyal. We're going to Tokyo next month. So yes, Verona. I'm happy. Happier than I ever was with you. The last thing I saw was her standing there in Whole Foods, crying, while other shoppers awkwardly navigated around her. That was 2 weeks ago. Yesterday, Holden told me she's been calling mutual friends, trying to get someone to talk to me on her behalf. Wanting a second chance. Saying she's changed, learned her lesson, would do anything to fix things. They all tell her the same thing. Damien's moved on. You should too. But she can't move on. Because every job application requires references. Every background check shows her termination. Every Google search of her name brings up that night. I made sure of that. The SEO on those articles is pristine. Meanwhile, I'm thriving. The business is booming. Turns out, the story of what I did has actually earned me respect in my industry. Don't F with Damien has become something of a legend. Closed 3 major deals last month alone. The pilot I'm dating? Her name is Naomi. She's everything Verona pretended to be, sophisticated, independent, honest. She knows the whole story. Said it showed her I'm someone who values loyalty and doesn't tolerate disrespect. We're taking it slow, but it's good. Really good. The house has been renovated. Every room Verona and Wesley contaminated has been gutted and rebuilt. New furniture, new paint, new energy. It's mine now, truly mine, with no ghost of her remaining. Felix and Holden threw me a party last weekend. A freedom celebration, they called it. 20 guys, poker, whiskey, cigars. Someone made a toast, to Damien, who showed us all how to handle business. Everyone raised their glasses. I'm in therapy now. Not because I'm traumatized, but because I want to make sure I'm whole before getting serious with Naomi. My therapist says I handled things remarkably well, considering. Most people would have reacted violently or self-destructed, she said. You channeled your anger into strategic action. That takes remarkable self-control. Self-control. That's what it was all about. Verona thought my calmness was weakness. She mistook my patience for passivity. She believed I'd never find out, and even if I did, that I'd forgive her like some pathetic romantic comedy protagonist. She was wrong about everything. People ask if I have any regrets. If I feel bad about destroying her life so thoroughly. No. She made choices. I revealed them. She built a house of cards. I was just the wind. The only thing I regret is not seeing it sooner. The signs were there, the decreased intimacy, the new friends, the sudden interest in working late, the way she'd guard her phone like it contained nuclear codes. But I trusted her. Loved her. Believed in the life we were building. That trust is the only casualty I mourn. Last week, I got a letter from her. Actual paper letter, like it's 1995. 4 pages, handwritten, delivered to my office. My assistant asked if she should shred it. I said no. I read it. It was everything you'd expect. Apologies. Explanations about feeling neglected, BS, I was attentive, she was just bored. How Wesley meant nothing, then why risk everything? How she's in therapy now, working on herself. How she understands my anger but hopes time will heal wounds. How she dreams about reconciliation. The last paragraph was the most pathetic. I know I have no right to ask for anything, but I'm drowning, Damien. I can't get a job. My family won't speak to me. I'm alone every single day with nothing but regret. You won. You destroyed me completely. Isn't that enough? Can't you find it in your heart to at least let me rebuild something from the ashes? Even if we can't be together, please stop. Please let me have a chance at a life. Stop? Stop what? I'm not doing anything to her anymore. I'm living my life. The consequences she's facing? Those are hers to own. I didn't make her unemployable, her actions did. I didn't make her family abandon her, her choices did. I didn't make Wesley ghost her, her worthlessness to him did. I threw the letter in the trash. 3 days later, Eva called. First time since everything happened. She's talking about hurting herself, Damien. Then get her professional help. She needs to know there's hope. Some kind of future. There is a future. Just not one with me in it. You're really just going to let her suffer? I'm not letting her do anything. She's experiencing the natural consequences of her actions. That's not my responsibility. You loved her once. I loved who I thought she was. That person never existed. This is cruel. No, Ev. Cruel was what she did to me. This is just indifference. She hung up. Haven't heard from her since. The truth is, I could probably help Verona if I wanted. A few phone calls, leverage some connections, get her something entry-level at a clinic somewhere. Remove the SEO on those articles. Let her rebuild quietly. But why would I? She didn't just cheat. She planned to destroy me. She was building a case for divorce while F-king another man in my bed. She was going to take half of everything I'd worked for while painting me as the villain. If I hadn't caught her, I'd be the one in a studio apartment right now, paying alimony to fund her new life with Wesley or whoever came next. Mercy is earned. She earned none. Naomi asked me about it last night. We were having dinner at my place, I cooked, she brought wine. She asked if I ever feel guilty about the nuclear option. You could have just divorced her quietly. Let her keep some dignity. I could have, I agreed. But dignity is something you maintain through your actions. She threw hers away. I just made sure everyone saw her do it. And you're okay with that? Being the villain in her story? I'm not the villain. I'm the consequence. There's a difference. She thought about that, swirling her wine. Remind me never to PS you off. Don't cheat on me, and we'll be fine. That's it? That's your only deal breaker? No. But it's the only unforgivable one. She nodded. Fair. That's the thing people don't understand about what I did. They see it as revenge. It wasn't. It was justice. Revenge would have been F-king her sister or her best friend. Revenge would have been destroying her car or burning her clothes. That's emotional. Childish. What I did was calculated justice. I exposed the truth. Her life fell apart because it was built on lies. I just turned on the lights. Tomorrow marks 3 months since that night in the parking garage. 3 months since I watched my wife of 6 years moan another man's name in our car. 3 months since my old life ended and my new one began. I'm better for it. Stronger. Clearer about what I want and what I won't tolerate. My business is thriving. My personal life is healthy. My future is bright. Verona? Last I heard, she moved back in with a cousin in Austin. Still working retail. Still single. still posting vague quotes about growth and healing on the Facebook account she thinks I don't know about. Still hoping for a redemption arc that's never coming. Wesley's getting married next month, not to Giovanna, she left the state, to some 22-year-old influencer who apparently doesn't Google her fiancé. That should end well. The hospital hired a new pediatric nutritionist. Met her at a networking event. Pleasant woman, married, two kids. She mentioned she'd heard about her predecessor. Some kind of scandal, she said carefully. Yeah, I replied. Some kind of scandal. Life moves on. The world keeps spinning. The betrayed rebuild. The betrayers decay. I'm done telling this story. Done reliving it. Done giving it any more of my time or energy. This is the last update because there's nothing left to update. The war is over. The enemy is defeated. The territory is secured. To everyone who followed this journey, who offered support or criticism, who shared their own stories of betrayal and recovery, thank you.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You helped me stay focused when rage wanted to make me sloppy. You reminded me that consequences delivered cold are far more effective than reactions delivered hot. To anyone reading this who's been betrayed or is being betrayed, you deserve better. Don't accept disrespect. Don't forgive the unforgivable. And when you discover the truth, don't act immediately. Pause. Plan. Prepare. Then execute with the precision of a surgeon removing cancer. You don't owe them mercy. You don't owe them discretion. You don't owe them anything except the truth of what they are, delivered in whatever way ensures they can never do it again. Some will call you cruel. Let them. They've never felt the specific agony of discovering that the person you sleep next to is a stranger wearing the face of someone you loved. Others will say you should have taken the high road. The high road is for people who weren't betrayed in their own homes, in their own beds, in their own cars. The high road is a luxury for those who haven't had their reality shattered by someone they trusted with their life. You take the road that leads to your freedom. Mine led through destruction, not theirs, but the lies that held my false life together. Once those burned away, I could finally see clearly. Verona, if you're reading this, and I know you are, you can't help yourself, understand this, I don't hate you. Hate requires emotional investment. I nothing you. You're a stranger who once had access to my life. That access has been revoked, permanently. Your suffering isn't my revenge. It's your reckoning. Every day you struggle, every opportunity denied, every relationship that fails because they Google you first, that's not me punishing you. That's life teaching you what I already learned. Actions have consequences, and some mistakes can't be undone. You wanted Wesley. You got him. For 4 months. Hope it was worth everything else. I'm done now. This chapter is closed. The book is burned. Time to write a better story. Damien, thank you so much for watching until the end. If you really like our videos, please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Have a great day.